Well, welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Love Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. My guests for today's show are Connie Ponturo and Wendy L. Yost. Connie is a leading authority in the field of pain-free living, which includes the power of creating a harmonious connection of mindset, emotions, and body. She is the author of an inspiring book titled Falling into Joy, 8 Simple Steps to Allow Your Body to Become Your Best Friend. Wendy L. Yost inspires intentional action by combining leadership and spiritual practices and principles. Examples include her TEDx talk and a series of leadership academies that she offers, basing them on university leadership courses she's taught for more than 35 times over the last decade. Wendy has contributed chapters to several best-selling books and is currently working on a children's book to create conversations about trusting ourselves and our senses, including intuition. Join us for a conversation about presence and intuition from the inspiring new book, Rise, Amazing Woman, Rise. Welcome, Connie and Wendy.
Oh, thank you. Great
Thanks
to be here
again,
Margo.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm excited to have you both back on the show, and I had so much fun talking with the two of you and Marsh back in October about the Dear Amazing Daughter book, and that inspired me to say yes and have you two and the other 6 authors on my show this month for Rise, Amazing Woman, Rise. I am so
Fantastic.
Excited to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
On talking about details of the book, I'd like you to each tell me a little bit about what you feel the book is about and why you're excited to be in it. So who wants to go first?
It's Connie, and I'll go first.
Okay.
First of all, 8 amazing writers, women with a powerful, radiant, beautiful hearts and minds and visions. I mean, how could you not be part of it? Working with Marsh Engel is a joy at all times. And she brought us all together, and we are just, it is an amazing piece. I mean, I'm so excited about the book. I love to work with Wendy. And it's just, I mean, how could you not say yes to this project?
I agree. What do you have to say about it, Wendy?
Is a conversation whose time has come. We were able to gather together last night, actually 7 of the 8 authors, which is a pretty good thing given we all have,
yeah.
We all run our own businesses. We all, you know, have published a variety of different things. And it was the first time that we had that many of us in one virtual location. And it's a humbling experience to get to learn more directly from each of the women who contributed to this book. This is a conversation that's bigger than any one of us, but that speaks to each of us in really unique ways. And so the 8 powers of the feminine heart is something that I think is a conversation that has been brewing for many, many years, but that has a different way of being listened to, taken in and acted upon, and I think the resonance available around it is in a different place than it's ever been.
I totally agree.
Oh, that must have been an amazing time getting together with all of them, and I imagine that Heather was the one that couldn't be there since is she on Maui, I think? She's in Hawaii, right?
She is on Maui. Actually, she was able to be there. She got to do some travels, and so we were able to get to know her through the call. We were just missing our beloved Katrina. And so, but that thankfully, given technology, it's a call that's recorded so that we're all included in spirit.
I see. It was a virtual call. Virtual, virtually
yes.
A virtual call. I was thinking you were all together in person. That would have been really amazing. You're virtually together, but no.
Yes. No, we've spanned three different time zones and more than coast to coast, given Heather being in Hawaii. And so, having us all at one place at one time is going to be really incredible. That's actually something that we're doing in April. And so that will be the first time that we're able to share a stage together. And I think that's just going to be an incredible experience for us to be able to knit together these eight essential topics, eight essential powers of the feminine heart in ways that, you know, I think we're still like stepping forward into, because we each have our own unique vantage point from the chapter that we wrote. And today, quite a few of us are getting our hands on the book today and tomorrow. And so it's just really exciting to think about getting to see the, you know, connecting the names and the faces and knowing that we share in something really special, that we're wanting to be of service in ways that are uniquely our own, but also in ways where we have this shared sense of community that we're calling forth new conversations about what it means to reside in feminine leadership and what success can look like that doesn't actually drain us and burn us out and leave us a pale version of who we most can be.
Now, which one of you is saying that? Because I your voices sound so similar to me. That was Wendy. Okay.
Yeah.
And Connie, you had something to say. I could tell you were about ready to jump in. So what did you
I was. Yes, it's just we've knit together in this beautiful quilt of the feminine heart, all bringing our, as Wendy said, unique abilities and where we come from and what we're doing in our life. And it's just really beautiful to see women together supporting one another, lifting each other and sharing their stories that will hopefully impact other women. And it just ripple effects from there. And all the proceeds go to help women and girls in these different programs that have been picked. So I think that's an important factor also from this book.
That's incredible. That's wonderful. Now, can one of you briefly tell us what the eight essential powers of the feminine heart are that are in the book? And then I'd like to go into talking to have you each talk a little bit about the powers that you wrote about in the book. So who wants to tell us the eight powers?
I'm happy to do that. So we have the power to evolve, which was contributed by Teresa Ray. We have the power of self-love, which was contributed by Pamela Nebaker. The power of intuition, which I contributed. The power of presence, which is what Connie has contributed. The power of balance, which is what Heather Salmon has contributed. Self-authority with Katrina Wisdom. And power of connection with Dina Breslin. And then the power of radiant achievement with Christine Howard. And so there is something I'd like to note, because some of these words and phrases may sound familiar, but it's been such a joy just to hear the nuances that come through as each woman shares her experience of that particular power and what it means to her. So all of us wanted to like qualify the words in different ways, I think, because it's like, well, that would be the closest word to what I'm talking about that people would be able to make a sense of connection with initially. And then through the course of reading the chapter, hopefully their definition would expand along.
Well, I've been enjoying reading the review PDF of the book, and I can't wait to get the actual book in my hands.
It's gorgeous. It's totally gorgeous.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I love it, and I can't wait to have the actual book. And I've read both of the chapters, yours and Wendy and Connie's, and I'm really excited to hear what you have to say about it. So who wants to go first talking about their chapter in the book?
It's Connie, and I'll go first. And my chapter is on presence. And I really think that presence comes into our world when we're ready to stand still and be in our power. And that power comes from being excited to live in the moment and to allow yourself to be within the moment and listen. And that's what I wrote as my quote for what presence is. And I've been in the space of health and wellness for over 20 years, and I deal with people in chronic pain and people who are maybe out of step with their bodies. And so presence is a really strong word for them to live in, because regret is what we haven't done, right? Worrying mm-hmm. about the past.
Right.
Worry is about the future. And if we can get out of that and just be in the moment, there's a lot we can learn. But it's hard. It's hard work to stay here. It's hard work to be in this moment. It's very easy to get, you know, we're distracted easily. We have so many things pulling at us. So it's really hard to learn to live in the moment and breathe. And that was a challenge that I found, and which is why the word resonated for me. It's what I teach. But it's also been a challenge for me personally.
I think it's a challenge for all of us to stay
yeah.
present. And that's exactly. that's one of the things that I always remind myself before I start the shows is to focus and be present. It is so
yeah.
important. And, you know, it being in the moment, you're right. I mean, there's so many things that take you out of the moment, whether it's your own things that you see and do or what other people want you to see and do. So I think that that's a really, 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 really important part of living your best life and living your music is to be able to be present and to have more presence. And I totally
exactly.
agree. And then intuition, I'd like to hear a little bit about what you have to say about that, Wendy, from your chapter.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So initially, when Marsh and I were talking about my contribution to the book, there was another topic, and I actually can't remember what it was, but in the conversation that Marsh and I had about, you know, the message that's wanting to be shared at this time through my writing was it centered on intuition. And as I started to think about it, back in eighth grade, I begged my parents to order the Time Life book series, Mysteries of the Unknown. And I was enchanted every month when a different book came on any number of things that are, you know, what I would now refer to as metaphysics. And, you know, there's a book on alchemy, there's a book on UFOs, there's a book on like Knights of Templar, and I mean, all these different facets of spirituality and different ways that people have listened through the years to the information that's being made available to us all of the time. And so all the way back to eighth grade, I was just really intrigued by how we know what we know when we can't really explain why, like where did we get it from? And so for me to have an opportunity to think through what contributes to my knowing and how can I set myself up in ways that allow that knowing to make itself available and for me to recognize this is helpful guidance. This is information that's going to assist me. It may not initially make sense. It might require, you know, me stepping into action without all of the information that I would prefer to have, but that there's this residing sense of trust and coming to trust ourselves in new ways when we're pretty much enculturated to lay our trust outside of ourselves 100 ways every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so true. Everybody wants to tell us what to do and what's important and what we need to focus on. And yeah, it's so true. One of the things I love about, I've heard about intuition is that it's moment to moment. And that's, I think, the thing that for me has been so helpful is to know that it's moment to moment. And a lot of it has to do with being present. So the two topics you two have are, to me, a really great combination for this show, because being present and in the moment is when you can actually listen and hear the intuition. And I love the examples that you gave, Wendy, in the chapter about when you did listen to it, and also examples of when you didn't listen to it. And so would you like to talk about that a little bit? Maybe give us a brief example of when you did and when you didn't and what happened?
Sure. Well, and so let me think about what would be the most present example now. You know, I teach at California State University Northridge, and it's such a simple, well, it's not a simple example, because it definitely, any educator that is listening live or to the radio archives will be able to relate, that when you're in front of the classroom, you have like 10 different things that you're multitasking at any given time, depending on the compilation of the students in front of you and what their needs are and the curriculum and what you're trying to achieve for that particular day to set the students up for what comes next with assignments and such. And so we had a particular moment in class last week where one of the women in the class asked for the opinions of the men in the class. And rather than just turning to the men in the class and asking them to respond to the question, I took the time to create a safe space for the men to share what they wanted to share. And so I had them each introduce themselves. I shared something that I knew about each of them. And then I said, it's completely up to you the degree to which you want to participate in the conversation. It was kind of a tender territory conversation. And so they were being put on the spot. And so that would be an example of a time that I was present and available for what the moment could make possible, but that needed some additional help to have it work out in the highest and best possible way. And so, I mean, this is like the moment where, like, within 3 seconds, I've like set an intention. I've created an environment where great things can happen, and then I watch it unfold. And what ended up happening was pure magic. The men contributed in really incredible ways, in part because they felt safe to do so. And this week, it actually was a big part of our conversation, is like, what does it take to create safe spaces for people to share, you know, things that are more vulnerable in nature? And so it was like a split second decision. I could have handled it 10 different ways, but I took, you know, I've developed over time the skills, and I teach the skills to be able to do what Connie talks about, which is like drop into the present moment and then see, kind of, you know, scan the arena. What are the needs and what's possible? And then what action can I take to help facilitate the highest and best possible outcome for everybody involved? So that's an example that comes to mind that I know is different than the book, but since it was part of my lived experience last week, I'm really present to it.
Mm-hmm.
Was there something that stood out to you about the not sharing or like when you don't listen and what happens? Or could you relate in your own life to something where you're like, oh, that's happened to me?
Yeah, the whole idea of times that you have not listened, you've gone, oh, I'll, you know, to me, I realize that for me, intuition is listen, all in caps, and take action. Because
taking action.
You know,
yes.
And the story that comes to mind most for me with that happened a number of years ago. I had on a gold Swatch watch that was like a bracelet. It was a beautiful watch. And I had heard to take it off because my sister and I were doing some clearing of files and things from the office. And I thought, you know, I should take that off because, I shouldn't have that on long. And I lost the watch bracelet. We ended up going through the dumpster, still couldn't find it. I never did find it. But, I mean, the good thing about it is that now, whenever I look at the watch that I do have on, it reminds me, listen and take action,
right.
Not just listen and go, oh,
right.
No, that's okay.
Right.
And
the funny thing about intuition, Connie, is that how often we don't listen. We're like, oh, no, you know, I don't listen to my gut. I don't listen to that voice. And it happens to us a couple times, and we get smarter about it, right? And
right.
Then we start
Hopefully
to say,
do.
"Oh
yeah,
yeah. I'm gonna listen to myself." But that's through time. That's through living. That's through experiences. Just like what you said, Wendy, all your years of teaching and being in that space, you knew what they could handle. And how you could handle the situation. So, I mean, that's what it just threads one into the next, every word, every chapter. And, you know, you have to be present in order to hear your intuition. And in your intuition, when you're really listening, it brings you into presence.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Well, and there's a way to collapse time and space on the learning curve of it, too. And I think for me, it is found in affording myself blocks of unstructured time where I don't have a plan other than to allow it to unfold. And so by giving myself time each week, that, you know, sometimes it's like it's just a few hours, but sometimes it can be the luxury of a full day. Of just allowing yourself to reside in that present moment and see, you know, should I take a right or a left? What restaurant comes to mind right now? You know, know what? I don't know why, but I think I want to go to the Barnes & Noble that's three cities over instead of the one that I normally go to. And like, and just kind of flexing the muscle in the smaller ways so that... and one of the things I talked about when I did the TEDx talk is like when we flex our muscles in the daily ways, then when the bigger life stuff happens, we've built not just the spiritual muscle, but we've built an inner reservoir of trusting ourselves so that when it's bigger and scarier, we still are willing to trust it and trust ourselves. Mm-hmm.
Well, now that brings me to a question that I had. I wanted you to mention, Wendy, about the clairs, about the intuition and the clairs. And I'd heard of the first four, and I hadn't heard of some of the others that you talk about. We don't have time to go into all of them, but if you could just briefly mention the main ones.
So I would encourage people just to Google the clairs, C-L-A-I-R-S. I have been studying intuition actively when I did the math. I mean, if I count all the way back to eighth grade in the Time Life book series, that would be one layer. But as far as like in the deep dive into books and teachers and mentoring and coaching programs and spiritual counseling and all of that, it's been 20 years. And so as I was writing the chapter, I thought, okay, so there's the four primary clairs, clairaudience, which is clear hearing, clear sentience, clear feeling, clear cognizance, clear thinking, and clairvoyance, which is clear seeing. And so those are different ways that people receive guidance. And there's not a pecking order of better or worse. There's just what works for you and the ways that information finds you. And so do you kind of get a picture in your head? Do you kind of hear within your inner ear? Do you feel something in your gut, or is it more of like, for me, like in the classroom scenario that I provided, I get this like kind of screen that opens up in my head and I start seeing options. If I do this and if I do this, this will happen. And so I start to see kind of the pathway of the what will serve the most people in the class is this. And so even though it may not be what my number one choice is, you know, personally, I hold the intention that I'm serving the class, and so or I'm serving the client, as the case may be. And so I'll choose the path that's going to provide the highest and best. If you Google the clairs in quotations, You'll find, I mean, it's probably over, you know, millions of Google hits. If you look it up on Amazon, hundreds of thousands of books, YouTube, if you know, hundreds of thousands of videos. And so for me, I sat there and I wrote out all of the ones that I was aware of, the initial four, and then a couple more that are lesser known, but that I've been, you know, aware of for quite a few years. And then there's a particular Claire that I learned. I want to make sure that I cite my source. So there's a woman named Emily, M-A-T-W-E-O-W, and she, I believe it's her terminology, Claire Eloquence, which is clear communicating, and it's using the precise right word or combination of words in order to accomplish a specific objective. And that, as soon as I read it, I was like, oh, that's why, you know, when I write a card out, somebody says, or send a text, or, you know, that there are things, there's information and energy conveyed in the words I choose, and whether it's written or spoken, that carry a certain energetic frequency and signature, and now I have a word for what it is that comes naturally to me, but also something that I've honed over time. So I believe that there's probably 100 different clairs, meaning there's 100 different ways that we receive information and guidance, and we're continuing to evolve the language to be able to speak to how we know what we know, and how guidance comes in. And so for me, it was really exciting as I was researching the topic to go beyond the four and then beyond, you know, the 10 or so that I knew of, to then find, you know, what for me felt both new and deeply resonant at the same time.
Well, I just want to say that getting the book and reading the chapters, it will help each one of the people who read the book to learn what you've learned about intuition, and also what Connie's learned about presence, and about what all the other authors have learned about the topics that they are writing about. And Connie, I'd like you to talk a little bit about the body, mind, and heart, and being present in all three ways. I thought that was really an important aspect of your chapter for me.
Yeah, so I think sometimes we think about that we have to be different in order to find presence. And everyone's like, well, so tell me what I need to do. What am I looking to become? And I always say, you don't have to be different. You have to act differently. So in your body, you have to respect where your body is, and you have to understand that you have to be present and in what that body is always trying to tell you, because our bodies are always talking to us. So can we listen? Can we be present? Can we be quiet enough to hear what our body is telling us, meaning it needs some more food, it needs more exercise, it needs better food, it needs time in nature, it needs whatever. We could go on and on, but our bodies are always talking to us. And then in terms of our mindset, can we quiet our mind enough to listen? Meditation. I teach yoga nidra meditation, which is sleep-based meditation. But it doesn't matter really what you do. Can you take 3 minutes, close your eyes and breathe and listen to whatever conversation is needed? Your intuition will also come out of that. But our bodies are always talking to us. Again, there's a place where I can listen. And then in our heart sense, what does our heart need to do? Where do we need to be? And again, all of this is within us. We don't need to be different. We just need to act differently. And we just need to take more time with ourselves, more love with ourselves, more kindness with ourselves, more of what we need to listen to. And I keep coming back to that, because it's the quiet that makes people allow that to come out. For me, when I'm struggling, I go out into nature. And I know, Margot, you're a big nature person mm-hmm. also. And when I go out into nature, I am immediately calmed. I am immediately back in touch with myself. It takes me 2 seconds, whether it's the water, it's a forest, it's my backyard. It's a beautiful place I like to be. So I always tell people, you know, don't forget to connect with nature. It's a real important step. And then I
think
that's
so important. That's so true. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then the other thing I want to say is being present to our use of words, what we say about ourselves, because our bodies are always listening. You know, you have a bad day and you just, it comes out of your mouth and like, ugh, everything I touch is crap. It's like, wow.
Ooh.
Step back. Right? Take a step back and realize those words have power. The words you say about your body have power. The words you say about your life have power. The words you say about the world, about your friends, about, that's why, you know, gossip doesn't serve anyone. So I'm just, I really want us to be conscious. And these are simple things that everyone can do anywhere. Doesn't cost a thing.
That's so true about what you say to yourself, and you're right. I mean, I've had a couple of instances the last few days where I've caught myself saying negative things to myself or out loud
and it's
to my husband.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, usually I'm so positive that people think I'm not even real, you know.
and I know that about you. You always post positive things on Instagram. You're very positive. But, you know, here's the deal. Our brains are wired with a negative bias. We have a reptilian brain that has served us, but now it doesn't serve us. So it's easy to fight, to complain, to see what's wrong and how unfair the world is. It is much easier to live in that world than it is in the world of seeing the perfect beauty around us.
So true, so true. And that's why I post so many positive things, too, though, is for reminders to me, too, you know, not just for everybody else, but also to remind myself, because it's so easy to get distracted with all of the negative stuff that goes on in the world and to start focusing on the one or maybe two things that are wrong in your life or in the world. And then blow that out of proportion instead of focusing on all the wonderful things and all the things you're grateful for and thankful for and appreciate. And, just like everybody else, I need a lot of reminders. And the times when it's hardest for me to be positive, and I think you two might agree with this, is when I'm really, really tired. And since I've had my first cold in I don't know how many years, I don't even remember how long it's been, during the last few days I had a cold, and so that makes me even more tired, and so I think I'm more susceptible to picking up on those things, and I have been sleeping more, so I haven't been spending as much time pouring good stuff in through the books I read and the posts that I see and so on and so forth. So it's been a really good experience. I was telling my husband, it's been a good experience in the sense, though, that it's giving me so much more compassion for the people who do have a hard time staying positive, excuse me, because once you're on the merry-go-round of thinking positive thoughts during the beginning of the day, it's a lot easier to stay that way than if you all of a sudden take hold of one of those negative thoughts and let it start to grow. So I think that what both of you are teaching in the book is so important, and reading your chapters again before I did the show today really helped me feel better. It helped me be more present. It helped me remember to listen to my intuition and actually take action. So I just wanted to say I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting because when you were talking about, you know, staying positive, and I love the merry-go-round analogy because it's like the merry-go-round that, like, you know, spins you off into where you don't want to go. But I think when you were talking, Margo, I wrote down distracted, but then I wrote down, what if we were distracted by beauty?
Nice.
Like, what if that's what caught our eye? What if we just decided that today, as I go about the day, allow me to be distracted by beauty. And then just mm-hmm. start stacking up moments where that's what we are allowing ourselves to be distracted by instead of our cell phones, which I joke to my clients and students, like, your cell phone is your ticket to elsewhere. It will take
right.
you precisely out of the present moment. And even
mm-hmm.
though we
exactly.
can do a really good job of curating our social media feed so that it is giving us nourishing messages, beautiful images, things that are helpful, so much of social media is beyond our immediate control as far as ads
mm-hmm.
and the things that make their way into our line of sight, so to speak. But if we
right.
if we decided today, I welcome being distracted by beauty, and then, you know, being able to say, like, oh my gosh, that tree's coming into blossom. Oh, you know, I mean, we
mm-hmm.
are moving, inching ever closer towards spring on, you know, where I live in California. You know, March 10th is, I'm going to be doing a happy dance because we get to change our clocks and another hour of light. And I know for me, that makes a colossal difference in my
right.
mental health. And so I think that, you know, what if we allowed ourselves to be, like, what if we chose with intention what we want to be distracted by.
I love that. I totally
anyway.
Love that.
Yeah.
Kind of like what Abraham Hicks calls going on a rampage of appreciation.
Yeah, exactly.
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 Yeah, I love that. I love that.
You know, the time is flying by, and we've only got about 8 more minutes left of the show, so I just want to make sure that we talk about the event that's coming up, the books coming out, and where they can get that, and for the people who live in the LA area, they could maybe go to the event. So would you tell us a little about that, please?
I'd be happy to. This is Wendy. And so Amazon.com would be a great place to buy the book this week. We have a variety of cause partners that we're very proud to be able to work with. Those are all listed on AmazingWomanNation.com. Which is the hub of all the glorious things that Marsh Engel has created, including the Legacy book series, which Dear Amazing Daughter and Rise Amazing Woman Rise are part of. And so all of the Amazon proceeds from all of the Legacy books go towards the cause partners. One of the cause partners that I'm particularly just enamored by is Girl Scout Troop 6000. And so I don't know if you're familiar, Margo, but the Girl Scout Troop 6000 was created in a homeless shelter to support the women and girls there.
Mm.
And
wow.
So that to me is just like, okay, that's like next level, you know.
Right. It's an amazing
book. By buying the book, is that just this week? If you buy it this week,
No. So, if you buy the book on Amazon, there's 5 or so different cause partners. I know Marsh is always on the lookout for other people and entities we can partner with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's as long as the book is in publication.
Oh, okay.
She has
cool.
a commitment. Yeah,
yes,
she has
all
a commitment
proceeds.
To all of the books. Proceeds from Amazon going to our cause partners. And so the event that's taking place tomorrow in Los Angeles is an opportunity to meet with not just some of the chapter authors, but we also have a portion of the book, Chapter 9, which is women who contributed an I Am Rising statement. And so those can be used as an intention or a meditation or a journal prompt. And so we have a variety of women who have been involved with the creation of the book who will be coming together in the Encino area of California, Southern California. And if you want to learn more about that, there's an events link on the AmazingWomanNation.com website. And the books will be available at that event. Each of the speakers, each of the chapter authors will be speaking. And it'll be a great time to come together and celebrate the essential power of the feminine. And it's a co-ed event. All are welcome. All genders are welcome. And we're excited to be able to have that be kind of the physical launch where we have books in hand and we're able to come together to
right.
share the message.
No, that's exciting. I wish I was still down in Southern California so yes. I could come.
I know. You were just here.
I know. Yeah, well, I'm hoping to get down that way a lot more often than I have been. Our son lives in Glendale, so I love going down there to visit him. And
perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Then you have to come to our April 13th event, Margo. That is when all of the speakers will be together and we will be speaking. It'll be in Pasadena. And there'll be more information on that to be on the website.
Oh, I would love to. Now, we've got 4 minutes left, and so I'd like each of you, I don't know who wants to go first, but to tell us what you'd most like people to remember about your topic in the book. Who wants to go first?
This is Wendy, and what comes to mind is it's safe to trust yourself in new ways each day. And the reason that I think the reason it came in that kind of strange word sequence is that we're all at different places in our trusting, and sometimes things happen that have us lose trust in ourselves. You know, the times where we don't follow the guidance that we receive and then things don't go the way that we want. And so I think that would be that it's safe for us to trust ourselves in new ways each day and then pay attention to what those new ways are, so that you can continue to get to know them and have them get to know you.
Sounds wonderful. And now about you, Connie.
I would say to listen to the words that you're using every day, and are they empowering and loving? And if not, take a moment, stop, and just take them back and reword it. You have a moment to change your mind and to be aware of what you say. And I think what you say is your living, right? Of what you believe you deserve is what you have. And so it's a simple, quick change, like what Wendy was saying. And if it just be aware of it. Just go, wait, I didn't really mean that. I really didn't mean that. And to really respect and honor where you are and all the beauty that you have around you and how lucky you are to be where you are and to be present.
I love that too. Thank you. That's a great reminder. I'm definitely going to remember both of those. And next week I'm going to have Heather Salmon on and also Pamela Nebaker. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Heather will be talking about balance, and Pamela's going to be talking about self-love. Those are two topics I'm really looking forward to having a discussion about. So I'm looking forward to that. Thank you so much for being on my show again. And, oh, I also wanted to mention that I am in the book. I have an I Am Rising
Yay.
Statement in there.
Yay.
I am rising as I live my music. Woohoo!
Yay!
Beautiful.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you both for being on the show. And I want to say a big thank you to Marsh Engel for getting us all together, getting all of you together, and also getting me to do these shows, these four special shows this month. During the next 3 weeks, we'll have the 6 more of the authors, and it'll be really fun.
That'll be fabulous.
Oh, beautiful. Thanks for having us.
You're
Thank
welcome.
Thank you for having us, Margo.
Welcome. I always love having you two on the show. Bye for now, everyone. Remember to live your music and pay attention to what you say and be present and listen to your intuition. Bye, Wendy. Bye, Connie. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.